All right, class, let's deal with the supernatural some more in this session. Access, very important word. I think that word is fine. Ephesians 3, we talk about boldness, access, and confidence. When Paul had talked about that the church is built on the apostle, the prophet, and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and said God had, as an apostle, he had held it back, but as an apostle, he had revealed some things to him. And he was talking about the Gentile and the Jews and all men being the same. Access for the supernatural dimension is called faith. Thought it was some deep thing. No, it's faith. You have to believe what you're being taught. Faith is not natural. We reduce it to the natural, but faith is not natural. Faith is one of the dimensions of the supernatural. Wow. That's why I talked about active faith, not having passive faith. Passive faith is, I got the scripture, I'm reading, I'm praying, and I'm begging God. No, active faith is saying, that's already mine. I take it now. Faith is one of the dimensions of the supernatural. So God is a supernatural God that has supernatural ability. Once you connect with God properly, remember I told you about gifts, administration, operation, manifestation, demonstration, you remember? Glorification, you remember? And edification. I don't want you to forget that. You remember I told you about in Luke, that's 1 Corinthians 12. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus gave us a blueprint of his whole supernatural ministry. If you're full with the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit and then you face the enemy, he's already whipped when he first touched you. You'll know exactly what to say, what to do in every situation. Then, not just for ministry, Jesus returned to Jerusalem in the power of the Spirit. Then he went on to another insight that you have to have, an anointing in Luke 4:18. And then he spoke the word with a power and authority. And that's the way you, that's the way, that's where God leading your ministry to. I always speak with power and authority, not because of my ability, but because of the supernatural availability that I tap in on a daily basis. Spend quality time with God. Spend all of all Smith Wigglesworth, F.F. Bowerth, Fred Price, you can go on, Brother Hagin, spending plenty of time before the Lord is very, very important. I can't think of his name. That's a shame. Oh, my. Seymour was a black gentleman who ushered, God used him to usher in the power of the Holy Ghost back into the system. Very few people say something about him. But I feel sometimes that the Lord is doing the same thing with my ministry. And because he told me one time to go in a big meeting, tell them they're not going to steal it from me. I just stole it from Seymour. The money cometh. Revelation is prophetic. It'll change the lives of millions of people. Some I know and some I don't know. Ministers' lives have been changed. Ministers' financial status have been changed like never before and still being changed. The people are being changed. Because they're getting a revelation of the sowing anointing. Just a little side general to tell you that there's evidence, there's proof of the supernatural in my ministry. I give God all the glory, all the praise, because I have not the mindset for what God is doing. I just yield to him, spend time with him. As we access the supernatural dimension that's called faith, so God is a supernatural God that has supernatural abilities. We can't reduce him to being natural. Because you know in 1 Corinthians, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, the thing that God has prepared for us is going to need supernatural thinking, supernatural wisdom. And the 1 Corinthians 2 tells us all about that. And we have the mind of Christ. Romans 8, 26 through 28 take us into the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ. And that's why all things work together for good. That's supernatural. Romans 8, 28 is supernatural. Ephesians 3, 20 is supernatural. So we cannot reduce him to being natural. He has dominion, listen to that, over both dimensions. And the dimension of the supernatural has complete dominion over this dominion. You know, he talked about different dimensions, talked about, but no, we want to talk about the four dominion. When you talk about four dimension, I'm talking about the four dominion. I have some questions that I want to bring before my class to get you to get the answers. Let's take you to what is going on in the church and what the church is, what the world is asking. What's going on in the church and what the world is asking? Question we need to ask. God is a supernatural God? Yes. Does God continue to perform miracles today? Yes. Can Christianity be considered relevant if it operates without miracles? No. Get this clear. I might go back over. What makes Christian life more than just another religion or philosophy? The supernatural. Do we need miracles mentioned in the Bible today? Yes. What makes Christian credible? The supernatural. What proof can we offer people that Jesus is alive? The supernatural. Can ritual, rule, regulation change people? No. Through whom does God perform miracles today? Me. Say it, me. Can anybody be a recipient of a miracle? Yes. Unfortunately, when people come to church, the majority of Christians come to the church without expecting anything supernatural. And it got so common with emotion and program that even if the minister is operating supernatural, I'm training this church now. And a lot of these people been with me a long time. And I got some online. They know how to flow. So that's powerful. The majority of Christians, they come to church without no expectation to see, to hear, anything supernatural. Come go to a regular service, sing a song, choir up there with their talent, preacher with his talent, blocking the supernatural. If you go to a restaurant, what do you expect to do? To eat. If you go to a gas station, what you do to expect? To get gas. You come to church, what do you expect? The supernatural. It's very simple. You listening, Claire? Wherever you go on your job, in your office, in your factory, what you do, what do you expect? The supernatural. Because the power of God, the kingdom of God, and the glory live inside of you. Because the power, the kingdom, the power of God, the kingdom of God, and the glory of God is on the inside of you. And it's going to take active faith, active hope, active prayer, active meditation to keep it stirred up. As a matter of fact, speaking in tongue in churches is not the norm anymore. Speaking in tongue is supernatural. But we hardly speak in tongue anymore. Oh, no, not at this church. We speak in tongue, partner. Why are miracles in church is not the norm? Miracles in church are not exception to the rule. Miracles only happen when the evangelists from outside come and pray for the sick. Now, that's sad. What it is not the norm in the church? Why it is supernatural? Why it is not the norm in the church? Because the church has been invaded with intellectualism, to live on this earth in the natural dimension, we need our five senses: mind, reason, logic, common sense. And the Lord give it to us to live properly in this dimension. Well, you got to use your senses. But when you move to the supernatural, listen, class, I'll tell you this from 50 years of experience. Reason doesn't work. Logic or common sense never produce a miracle. Listen to me. No, I don't want people to be stupid. I believe we can go to college and become brilliant and be filled with the Holy Ghost inside. But when it comes to the supernatural, this is what Paul said. I was brilliant. I was a powerful intellectual person. But when it came to the supernatural, I put all that stuff as garbage. Look in Philippians 3:8. A moment. Thank God. Thank God. I said, thank God. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:8. It is powerful. It's so powerful. Now, this class is a powerful class. These last three classes I taught you. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, yeah, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may function in the supernatural. That's what he's saying. Because he couldn't make miracle with his reason or intellect. He said, but when he came to the supernatural, let me give you this again. But when it comes to the supernatural, this is what Paul said. I was brilliant. I was powerful, intellectual person. But when it came to the supernatural, I put all that stuff as garbage, Philippians 3:8, because it couldn't make miracles with his reason or intellect. And that's why we don't have no miracles in the church. We've got too technology. We've got too technical. We've got too internet-wise. We've got internet who can write sermon out for us, all kind of stuff, without spending time before God. But when it's about miracle, casting out demon, you can't go in the intellect sense. You have to go in the name of Jesus. You go by faith, not by sight. No, not by reason. All right, I have something else I want to take you to, class. Just stick with me. Let's call this ministry preparation and meditation. Let's begin with Joshua 1:8, who has an assignment that Moses had been given. They've come to the Red Sea, they've come to the wilderness, and now Moses' time is up. Moses died. And Joshua will take on the responsibility. And the key factor in Joshua 1:8, I know he told him be courage, be of great courage, but Joshua 1:8 is that meditation, how much power it pull a supernatural out. Meditation pull a supernatural out of you and put the supernatural in you. Ministry of preparation and meditation. Let your living word and your burden for your people come forth, that I may speak and prophesy powerfully. You might want to get these down. Here's the preparation and meditation for ministry in the supernatural. Let your living word and your burden for your people come forth, that I may speak and prophesy powerfully. Now, every student here, you're having a chance to come under the apostolic and prophetic ministry, anointing, and operating in it. Doesn't say you have to be an apostle. Doesn't say you're not going to be an apostle. But just don't go before God called you. Number two, Lord, let me not minister in word only. Oh, my, my. My, my, my. A human wisdom. Rather, cause me to minister in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, 1 Corinthians 2, that Paul. Let man's faith be in you, in your power and your presence. In you, your power, and your presence. And that's 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. And then 4 and 20. Let's see. I better read those verses. Let me read those verses. First Corinthians 2. This is so important. 4. And my speech and my preaching will not be in enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, and I'm calling that supernatural. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So you, in other words, when you preach or teach, your assignment is to be anointed that you can pull those you're teaching to or preaching to into the supernatural. Now, if you're not in the supernatural, you're up there with a talent and an intellectual, ain't nothing going to happen. Now, you fake it. I mean, you know, people get emotion carrying on, but no, no. So he said, Lord, let me not minister in word only or human wisdom. Rather, cause me to minister in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power and in your presence. I'm stuck there, boy. 4:20. Look at it here, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word. Look at that class. What the last three words? But in power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching will not be in the words of man wisdom, but in demonstrating the Spirit and the power. See, that's preparation for supernatural ministry. Preparation and meditation for ministry. The breaker has gone up before me and broken through every limitation and barriers of the enemy. The breaker. That's Markah 2:13. Look at it. Markah 2:13. I'll look it up here. Take your time and look at these scriptures with me. I don't know whether you're on your pad or whatever. And I tell you always, and you know I'm gonna emphasize about using the Bible. You know that, right? Let me read that to you again now. The breaker, hallelujah, has gone before me and broken through every limitation and barrier of the enemy. Here at Markah 2:13. The breaker has come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Yep. See, when you're operating that supernatural, you can do that. Let men know your mighty acts and glorious majesty of your kingdom. Let men know your mighty acts, Lord, and the glorious majesty. Psalm 145. Look with me. Go through it in a few minutes because it's so powerful. Psalm 145, verse 12. To make known to the Son of Man his mighty acts and the glory and majesty of his kingdom. Oh, my. Oh, my. Look at verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power. And to make known, on verse 12 now, to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his way. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill, on verse 19, the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will destroy. I keep reading this whole psalm because it has so much pertaining to what we're talking about. Okay. Let men know your mighty actions, glorious master. In other words, you let God flow through you. Shambernandikata. Father, each person and son of my voice, give them the capacity and the care and the consciousness and the courage to let your power flow through them. Anoint every student tonight, every man, every woman, anoint them with a special anointing as we study the supernatural anointing. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you for it right now. How long have I been going? I almost want to close because there's so much information.
About 22 minutes.
Okay. I pray my speaking and ministering, this is what you making this ministry preparation and meditation I'm giving you. I pray my speaking and ministering will make known the mysteries of the gospel and mysteries of your will. Ephesians 1 right quickly. Ephesians 1. Praise God. Ephesians 1, 7 through 9. Everybody catch this 7 verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Underline that, wisdom and prudence. You got to have that for ministry. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed himself. Now, you know, Matthew 13 says it's given us to know the mystery, and it tells us what the mystery produced, constantly producing things in our lives. All right. I got to hurry. I don't want to get these out to you. Let the plowman overtake the reaper in my life and ministry. The treader of grapes overtake the sower of seed, that I may see a continuous harvest. As Amos 9:13. I'm going to go. I got 4 more to give you, and I might be able to get back. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let your fire be in my heart, my hand, my belly, and my mouth. Let me preach with tongues of fire. Whew! Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12. I bind up all levels and powers of evil over this servant. Nothing shall interfere with this time. Matthew 16:16-18. Lord, bless and refresh your people in this place. Bless and refresh the ministers and ministry. Look at him on 9:19 right quick. Hallelujah. Amos 9:19. All right, Amos. Show up somewhere here. Calculate and get there so much faster, can't you? Let's take a little Bessie and look around a little bit. Jewel, Hosea, Joel, and Amos. Hallelujah. Stick with me, Claire. For some reason, but I don't want me to read this voice. But I'm going to get to it. It's Amos 9:13. Behold, Amos 9:13, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall be milk. Then he said, baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let your fire be in my heart. Now, you go back and write those 10 things in your Bible. Put a notepad in there. That before you preach, are you making preparation? If you want to minister in the supernatural, let your living word and your burden or your people come forth that I may speak and prophesy powerfully. Lord, let me not minister in word only, or human wisdom, rather cause me to minister in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Let man's faith be in you and in your power and in your presence. The breaker has gone up before me and broken through every limitation and barrier of the enemy. You better go preach. Let me know your mighty acts and glory and majesty of your kingdom. I pray my speaking and my ministry will make known the mysteries of the gospel and mysteries of your will. Let the plowman overtake the reaper in my life and ministry. The trader of grapes overtake the sower of seed that I may see a continued harvest. You're getting ready to preach in the supernatural. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let your fire be in my heart, my hand, my belly, my mouth. Let me preach with tongues of fire. I bind up all levels and powers of evil over this service. Nothing shall interfere with this time. Lord, bless and refresh your people in this place. Bless and refresh the ministers and ministry. All right, Claire, let's pray a few minutes. Sombrona. May this go down deep into our spirit, Lord, until we meet again. May these ministers today recognize that they have been in these last three classes were very, very special classes to me. And they'll go down in history of how many ministers' lives have been changed. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And we're here, we're present, we're active, we're not passive. We're not just saying words to pray. We're talking to you and thanking you for every person under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen.